Welcome to episode 999 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Hebrews 12 opens with a call to action that sets the tone for the entire chapter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the word therefore links directly back to Hebrews 11, which recounts the stories of men and women of great faith who persevered, despite challenges, trials, and persecutions. This cloud of witnesses is a metaphor for the collective testimony of believers who have gone before us and who now serve as examples and inspiration for our own journeys of faith. Their stories are not meant to be seen as distant historical records, but as encouragement, like spectators cheering on runners in a race, urging them to finish strong. The imagery of the cloud is powerful. It suggests not only the number of witnesses, but also their heavenly vantage point. These faithful individuals, like Abraham, Moses, and Sarah, are examples of perseverance, serving as reminders that the Christian life is not a sprint, but a marathon. They faced hardships, temptations, and doubts, but they pressed forward in faith, trusting in God's promises. In the same way, we are called to persevere, knowing that we are not alone in our race. The next part of verse 1 gives us practical advice for how to run this race. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Just as an athlete would discard anything that weighs them down, we are instructed to throw off anything that might slow our progress in the Christian life. This includes not only sinful behavior but also distractions, worries, and unnecessary burdens that divert our focus from Christ. These hindrances may not always be sinful in and of themselves, but can become obstacles if they consume our attention or energy. In the same breath, the writer of Hebrews speaks of sin that so easily entangles. Sin is portrayed as an ensnaring force, something that, like a trap or a net, can easily wrap itself around us and make it difficult to move forward. It is both a warning and a call to vigilance. Sin is subtle and it can slowly pull us off course if we are not careful. The metaphor of a race highlights the importance of being free from such entanglements. No runner would compete with ropes tied around their legs, and no Christian should attempt to live faithfully while bound by sin. The passage then urges believers to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. This verse is a reminder that the Christian journey is not one size fits all. Each of us has a unique race to run, a unique path laid out by God. This path will involve trials, challenges, and obstacles, but it is also one that leads to growth, transformation, and ultimately, eternal life. Perseverance is key here. It speaks of steady, sustained effort. The Christian race is not a quick sprint, but a long-distance run that requires endurance. This endurance is built up through faith, discipline, and trust in God's guidance. The next verse shifts the focus to the ultimate example of perseverance, Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 reads, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." In some translations, Jesus is called the author and finisher of our faith. He is both the originator and the one who brings our faith to completion. This dual role is crucial for understanding how we are to persevere in the Christian life. Jesus not only shows us how to begin the race, but also empowers us to finish it. He is the model we are to follow, the one who lived a perfect life of obedience and faithfulness to God. To look to Jesus, or fix our eyes on Jesus, means that our focus must remain on Him as we run our race. Just as a runner keeps their eyes on the finish line, so too must we keep our eyes on Christ, who has already completed the race and now serves as our guide and strength. Jesus is not only the example of faith, He is also the source of our ability to endure. By fixing our eyes on Him, we are reminded that He understands our struggles, having faced them Himself. The verse continues, "Who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame." This part of the verse highlights Jesus' endurance in the face of unimaginable suffering. The cross was the ultimate expression of physical, emotional, and spiritual pain. Yet Jesus endured it for the joy set before Him. The joy here refers to the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation, the redemption of humanity, and the restoration of creation. Jesus looked beyond the immediate suffering to the greater joy that awaited on the other side of the cross: His victory over sin and death, and the reconciliation of humanity with God. The phrase, "despising the shame," points to the social and cultural disgrace associated with crucifixion. Crucifixion was not only a painful death, but also a deeply humiliating one, reserved for the lowest criminals. Yet Jesus willingly embraced this shame, knowing that His obedience to God's will was far more important than the temporary dishonor He experienced. In doing so, Jesus redefined what it means to endure suffering. His example teaches us that no matter how painful or shameful our trials may seem, they are not the end of the story. The verse concludes with the triumphant statement that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. This is a declaration of victory. Jesus' suffering and death were not the final word. His resurrection and exaltation to the right hand of God demonstrate that he has triumphed over sin and death. To be seated at the right hand of God is a position of honor, authority, and power. It signifies that Jesus' work of redemption is complete, and that he now reigns as King and High Priest. Hebrews 12 calls believers to run the race of faith with perseverance, drawing inspiration from the cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, and most importantly, from Jesus, the ultimate example of endurance. The race is difficult, but we are not left to run it alone. Jesus, who has already run the race and finished it, is both our model and our source of strength. His victory assures us that we too can persevere and finish our race. As the chapter progresses, the focus shifts to a celebration of the new covenant established by Jesus. In verses 18 to 29, the writer contrasts the terrifying experience of Mount Sinai with the joyous celebration of Mount Zion. Mount Sinai, where the old covenant was given, was marked by fear, trembling, and separation from God. In contrast, Mount Zion, the city of the living God, is a place of festal gathering, where angels and believers rejoice in the presence of God. Through Jesus, we have been brought into this celebration. We are not distant spectators. We are participants in the assembly of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. This means that we are heirs of God's promises, co-heirs with Christ, and citizens of God's kingdom. The spirits of the righteous made perfect refers to the complete transformation that believers will experience when they are fully sanctified and glorified in God's presence. This passage also serves as a warning. The writer reminds us that God will once again shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This shaking represents God's final judgment, a time when everything that is temporary and unstable will be removed, and only what is eternal and unshakable will remain. For believers, this is a call to remain steadfast in faith, knowing that our foundation in Christ is secure. What cannot be shaken is the kingdom of God, and those who are rooted in Christ will endure. The final verses of Hebrews 12 call us to offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. This reminds us that while God is loving and gracious, he is also holy and just. Our response to God's grace and the unshakable kingdom we have received should be one of deep reverence, gratitude, and faithful obedience. Throw off anything. Throw off everything. Remember the race you're running. Remember the prize. Remember the one who has run the race successfully. Note that many who have gone before us are rooting for us to finish. It's as if the author is pleading with us. Don't let anything get in our way. Don't let anything slow us down or throw us off course. What might be entangling you? It doesn't necessarily have to be something egregious. It might be fear or insecurity. It might be status and privilege. It might be bitterness and resentment. It might be refusing to forgive someone who has wronged you. It might be doubt. It might be one of the many areas of human frailty, or one of the many transgressions that dogged those who should have known better. Peter was a hothead. He was prejudiced. He cared too much about what others thought about him. He denied that he even knew Jesus. He walked on water when his eyes were fixed on Jesus. But then he looked away and began to doubt. Paul was a legalistic zealot who saw no irony in his hatred for the followers of Jesus. James and John sought personal honor, asking to sit at Jesus' right and left hand in his kingdom, reflecting their ambition. Other disciples argued among themselves about who was the greatest, displaying pride and misunderstanding of Jesus' teachings on humility. To finish the race God has set before us, Christians must throw off sins that hinder spiritual growth. What might be getting in your way? Pride blocks humility before God, while bitterness and unforgiveness stifle peace and healing. Lust distracts us from pursuing purity, and greed pulls us toward materialism, away from reliance on God. Envy fosters discontent and makes it hard to appreciate God's blessings, while selfishness inhibits our ability to love and serve others as Christ did. These and other sins entangle us, preventing us from running our race with endurance and faithfulness. Hebrews 12 challenges us to run the race of faith with perseverance, casting off anything that hinders us, and fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It reminds us that we are part of a greater story, a celebration that takes place in the presence of God and his angels. And while the race may be difficult, we are sustained by the promise that, in Christ, we have already received an unshakable kingdom. As we run, may we do so with endurance, knowing that victory in Christ is assured, and our eternal reward is secure. Father, help us to cast aside everything that weighs us down and entangles us, whether it be sin, distractions, or doubt. Strengthen our perseverance as we run this race of faith, and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our example and source of strength. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.